from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. My name is Jacob Fortan.
And I'm Krista Hendricks.
Hey, did you notice I didn't say .net? I'm getting good at it. I'm having to remind myself to not say the .net because it's not necessary.
No.
It's totally not necessary.
People this is the Google Good Atheist.
I know they do. What am I thinking? The .net.
Crazy.
I feel like it's my 1998 version of me talking every time. It's like, don't forget about .net. Because if you don't type it in properly, there's no way for you to access my site. That's how it used to be, folks. Mm. Remember those days? Those heady days?
I actually don't remember those
days. No, I don't think you do remember those
days. I think I was a little child during those days.
Yeah. I don't think you were really at the stage where you needed to do a lot of searching. Besides, it sounds to me like you got your dad to do most of the sort of like tough work at the beginning, at least when it comes to came to finding music and that kind of stuff. Am I wrong?
It's true. No, I used to make a list of songs I wanted for school before I went to bed, because my dad was he'd stay up all night, and I would give the list to my dad before I went to bed, and I'd wake up the next morning, and there would be a burned CD for my Discman waiting for me with my lunch.
Well, your father was an early adopter to lots of things.
Well,
technical.
He was like a karaoke DJ and a DJ as well. So most of the stuff he already had, and then
right.
The stuff I think
yeah,
I
but
was
that's
also
the karaoke version. So it's a garbage. You're not. Don't tell
no.
me you're listening to karaoke.
No,
versions
he's doing regular like wedding DJing as well. So I think part of it was that the list I made actually helped inform him as to what was popular. So I think
right.
we both got
oh,
something
it was a
out
good
of
exchange.
It.
Nice. I like it. All right. And the only people that didn't like it was the
old people.
No,
the
I would say the record industry probably didn't like it too much.
Who said that he downloaded it illegally? I never said any of that.
Of course you didn't.
Of course he didn't.
Back in the day where being able to
who
access anything
would do that.
Was well, you know, back in those days, I tell you what. It was really no one even had that concept. It wasn't people weren't calling it piracy back then. A word, by the way, that I think is a great misnomer, a great disservice to the way that information is changing. It's like this is theft. Whoa there, folks. Not quite.
How about calm down a little bit?
How about calm down? How about not jail people for years?
I mean, although I will say it is something, right?
I mean, piracy is
bad.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm a content producer, because that's the word everybody uses nowadays, eh? Everybody, even like artists now, are calling themselves content producers. the internet poisons everything. Anyways, I have a kind of mixed relationship. Like, let's take a good example, right? Bible Stories, the book I'm writing. Now, undoubtedly, there's going to probably be some people that are going to, like, not pay for it. They're going to either distribute it to friends or, you know, who knows what. And there's a portion of it that you just have to accept. You're just like, well, you're never going to get any money from it. I mean, who's going to have 100% turnaround?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any fucking sense. And if you did in this world, I mean, you'd just be handing over billions of dollars because we're all participating in this slowly but surely in different ways. I mean, think about how the way the translation software, I mean, how sophisticated is it going to be in 50 years? Is translation even going to be a job anymore? And what does that mean to the wealth of information that used to be locked behind a different language wall? And I mean, I don't even know. Like, the future of content for me, the future of how we use the internet, I don't even think I'm going to pretend that I understand it. I mean, I've been at this thing for maybe 6 years of trying to really understand the internet, and nah, I feel like every time I think I get it, I don't get it. There's something new that's more complex, and I was like,
Speaking of complex and weird things, hey Jake, how's Bible Stories going?
Well, when we last left everybody on the last podcast, as you may remember, there was a bit of a panicky Kickstarter thing canceled 24 hours before we were about to be funded, and then me having to redo the campaign at Indiegogo. And I'm happy to say, while I sort of was away in a kind of drug-induced coma, you know, / video games, in order to be able to forget about how
yeah, you were lost
to
the
was.
World for a little while.
Yeah, you know what it was like? It was hard because the decision had to be made so quickly. I had 24 hours, and you know, like, it had been 3 days where we weren't even sure that whether or not it would be okay or if it wasn't okay. We kept on hearing different information. The accountant was saying it's fine, and then the government was saying it's not fine. You cannot have access to that money because, like I mentioned in the last show, my American partner would have lost her benefits, mm-hmm. and the ability to go to school if that would have happened, which wasn't the original intent.
But it's just not worth it either. I mean, we don't want to hurt anybody in the process of making this. It's just not worth it.
Well, we were in a situation where things were kind of terrifying because by then it had all built to this, and we just needed it to work. You know, some of the money was spent. So I was shitting bricks, let me just say that. Shitting royal bricks. But, you know, I wake up from this coma, lo and behold, to find that over the period of some 30 hours, we had reached 10 grand. And then everybody was just sort of like, no, man, don't let it get you down. Let's get even higher. And all of a sudden, I'm sort of like, damn, that's awesome.
You got a pretty badass fan base.
That is pretty badass.
So do you know what it's sitting at as of the recording of this right now?
As of right now, it's probably about 12,600.
Yeah, it's about 12,600.
And I was calculating if we can keep up the pace, because obviously not the pace that it started at, because that was almost 24 hours and it was back to that original goal. And there were some people, by the way, that were asking me, why did you set the goal again at 10 grand? Why didn't you make it higher? Because we had almost reached 20. We were going to reach 20 based on the, you know, like the trend. And my answer was like, well, I didn't know what Indiegogo, how that whole thing was going to play out. It's constant uncertainty, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't play with fire. And I didn't want it to look, I thought it would have looked bad if I would have just said, well, I want 18,000 now because that's how much I needed. But that's not how much I put originally. I didn't want to change much about it. It's just sort of like, same plan. Let's do this again. Again. no.
But it's working out. It's working
out. It's working out. It's working out. The only problem, and this sort of like leads me to the final word I'm going to say about this before we get into the show, is that it's affecting the show because I had originally planned for the campaign to end right before we have me and Chris are doing this event. She has a prop festival in Calgary. It's a fourth year now called Light and Motion. And I run the cafe at this place.
And I cannot even believe how much work Light and Motion is every year. I forget. Well, it's a two day festival for prop manipulation. There are 25 workshops. I have to bring in 7 instructors from out of province. So I have to find them billets. I have to make sure they're taken care of. I have to make sure everybody's got a ride or like they're flying in, and I got to, you know, schedule flights and things like that. Then I've got all the people who buy tickets in advance, and I have to make sure that if you buy tickets in advance, then you get to pre-register. And then I don't think people realize, like, if you pre-register for classes, I take every one of those emails and I individually put the names into the schedule.
Considering how fast you're sort of like just telling me right now, you're da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't even think anybody can keep up.
I know.
Slow down there, Speedy Gonzalez, into the explanation. You know what? If anybody wants to know how to run an event, they can send Carissa an email and say, how did you do it? Because I even think we're getting the short version. So, needless to say,
it's
lots of work to do. But unfortunately, that also means that I'm going to not be able to do the bonus show this week.
Sorry.
I mean, I had hoped that with the pressures of continuing to put up the the campaign up and messaging people and annoying them with spam again. Oh, God, I don't look forward to that one. Be like, hey, like the accusatory sort of like, you're not my friend. Why are you spamming? Be like, I have no choice. The first time was bad, but the second time is necessary.
Oh. Well, maybe we can offer everybody a little bit something special for next week for the bonus show. Maybe we can do an extra long bonus show.
What are you committing me to?
Sorry,
I mean, we're going to just fucking finish off this whole late motion thing. You're like, Jacob, why don't you have a super long show? How about fuck you? That's not happening. No way.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Super long show.
We'll
One thing that is actually going to happen now that we have to stretch the campaign, and I'm not guaranteeing this next week because I don't know how tired I'll be from the thing, but we are going to have another Bible Stories.
Yay!
And the other Bible Stories that I said were going to be up until the campaign is over for free, well, are going to continue to be up because I'm a man of my word, and the campaign's still going to go on for like 15 days. 2 more weeks.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we have 15 more days.
Well, 15 more days to get back to where we were. Hopefully that that second goal of 20K. And I'm like, I think with everybody being in good spirits about it and just sort of, you know, I tried not to bat an eyelash, even though I was quite disappointed. But video games and the pot helped. So okay, I'm back in the saddle, baby.
Well, here's the thing I don't think people realize is that when the campaign started, I had this 3-week intensive theater I was doing. Which was everyday hardcore work. So I was busy every day, and Jake was busy every day with a campaign. And all we kept thinking was, well, at least was... And then right after my 3-week intensive was done, I had 2 days to rest, and then I had to get on the light motion bandwagon. And what we thought was at least the campaign would be done, and then Jake and I could work together on light motion, and then we could just be done with all of our projects. But no, it's kind of stretched out. So I'm not... I'm sorry if this sounds like we're bitching, but it's just... You know, this thing that we expected would be like this really hardcore month of hard work and working our butts off and getting things done is now a month and a half.
I think that's sort of like, you know what? I learned my lesson. Never plan ahead because shit will always go awry and then you'll end up putting in a lot more work. So just when you thought you were done, you were not done. You were not done, sir. Get back in that saddle. Speaking of saddle, today, I mean, I we're going to be talking about gun control, which is going to probably upset a slight portion of my listenership, but for the most part delight them, because I know what the demographic is of the people who listen to me. They'll probably mostly agree, although there's tons of people who won't, and please, I'd love to hear your comments about it, because this is going to be a fun civil discussion. We're going to have lots of different ideas that thrown out, and we're going to be what's going to segue us into this tough conversation is going to be that tragic event that happened in Aurora. As you all know, I don't think I need to tell you everything, you know, the details about it. I think we're all familiar with it, correct? Can I just assume this?
I mean, we're late
coming into this, but it's like saying, in case you didn't know what Columbine was, I mean, it has the same resonance now. That is now in your mind. Aurora will have those kinds of images in your head forever. And you know, for us, it was a little bit tough to well, you didn't even know about it. I had to tell you. You've been disconnected from the world.
I have been only learning the things I absolutely need to learn about the outside world.
I can't imagine what it's like for everybody else that lives in the 24-hour news cycle world where there's just nothing to talk about. There's so much nothing to talk about that I think it was ABC when they were first mentioning the shootings and James Holmes, and they were doing some really, really basic internet searches. They had found a James Holmes who was a member of the NRA.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, they ran with that bullshit for almost like an hour.
Okay, here's something we should keep in mind, is that not everybody is in North America who listens to your show.
Yeah, the huge significant portion.
But shouldn't we give them an idea of
Who the NRA is?
Well, yeah, just like kind of give an explanation of what happened, and I don't know.
In Aurora? Nah.
Okay.
Go on the internet and fucking find out, because if you need me to reiterate, it's just going to be like, I feel like reiterating is a nothing story. Guy walks into a fucking movie theater, throws tear gas, fires at people.
Bunch of people die. Bunch of people get
shot. The end, you know?
Pretty heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking in that, oh, here's another psycho who has access to weaponry and has decided, I'm just going to kill a whole bunch of y'all.
Yeah.
Because I'm living in a fantasy land in my own brain, and I think I'm the Joker or whatever the fuck kind of justification.
Is that what it was? Was it actually related to the Dark Knight?
That's why his hair is all dyed and shit like that. That upset some people when he showed up to court and his hair was really dyed, so he looked... I'm not saying he looked like the Joker, but he looked ridiculous, and he has this stunned look on his face all the time, like, huh, huh? I actually want to punch it. Like, I really want to punch his little face in. But of course, you know, the whole issue has, like anything else, especially during election times, just brought everybody out to talk about sort of the broader issue, which is of gun control, because there's an argument that could be made of saying, well, is it reasonable for a human being to have access to a machine gun that can fire 60 rounds a minute and reload every few seconds? And, you know, combine that with body armor, tear gas, and shit like that, and you are, given that everybody else is, you know, not expecting this kind of thing, just sheep to the slaughter, essentially. You're kind of capitalizing on the fact that society is safe and good-natured, and we don't generally question even people that apparently walk in with body armor. But that's the thing about Batman and why it was so tragic. Everybody just thought it was kind of like a stunt for the movie. Right? I mean, the whole thing about Batman is chaos and Gotham City's redemption. I can almost see, like, if I was in a movie theater, I would probably think the same thing. I would probably turn over to you and say, sweetheart, I think this is some kind of...
This is hardcore.
This is pretty crazy. This is a really nutty press release thing. They're pretty hardcore to try to beat Spider-Man or something. I don't know what the hell. But yes, tragedy ensues. And now, you know, everybody's like, well, should we have more gun control? Should Americans have more gun control? And here's the thing. A couple of interesting elements first. Number one is that this incident, like many other incidents, has not changed people's perception about gun control. They don't. There's absolutely no change. When asked, people normally say that these are isolated incidents, and it doesn't really affect their view. So you can forget about any kind of national tragedy or those kinds of things ever really affecting people's view on it. So that's the first thing. Number one, tragedies do not affect views on gun control. So what will, right? How can we have a discussion about gun control that seems reasonable? Because I was reading, I decided, you know, like one of those... I was one of those rare moments where I'm like, fuck, I'm going to find out the both sides of the argument. I want to read what everybody has to say. And because in a sense, I want to be convinced by the people who say there are no need for gun laws, for instance, or those kinds of things don't end up influencing, you know, these kinds of events or so on, or gun violence in general. And I'm like, I don't believe you. And I kind of want to run through first the other side's argument, if we will. And I actually want you to play the devil's advocate.
Uh-oh.
It's going to be a tough one, right? Because in a sense, you as more of the libertarian sort of side of it are against gun control laws in a broad sense.
Well, yeah, I am mostly against gun control laws. I mean, it's hard. It's difficult because it's one of those things where I feel like I have shot a gun at a range, mm-hmm. but I don't own a gun.
Yeah.
I'm Canadian, mm-hmm. so I feel like we have different pressures here. I don't really feel all that comfortable speaking about gun control laws and legislation because I don't feel all that well informed. But I'm happy to play devil's advocate.
Okay, good. All right, so we'll go through, we'll talk about the first one that usually gets brought up quite a bit. And it's the argument that if someone was armed at the movie theater, then they would have been able to take down this assailant. Or in other subsequent kind of incidents where criminals who don't normally try to get guns in legal ways are going to have guns, and the defense is, well, now the criminals have guns, but now we don't have guns.
Which makes sense.
Okay. It makes sense in the Wild West, yes. That does make sense. It does make sense in a world where you have stand your ground laws, where, you know, that Zimmerman guy shoots Tavrone Martin in this whole, well, I thought he was going to attack me, or he claims that he was attacked and shit like that by an unarmed 17-year-old with, you know, or 16-year-old with a pack of Skittles. Yeah, I believe that. But, you know, you have these incidences where a person who has no real experience with a gun, or probably very little training, even though maybe they went to the firing range and that kind of stuff, it doesn't matter. That's not the type of training you need in situations when an armed gunman comes around. The truth is, it's really hard to kind of do anything. Fight or flight instincts are really powerful, and you are not John Wayne, okay? Truth of the matter is, somebody comes up with a gun, starts firing, you're going to panic, and if you start shooting yourself, and a lot of soldiers will tell you this, friendly fire is extremely possible. In fact, if you look at most wars, a significant portion of the casualties are actually friendly fire. I mean, you remember that big atheist football player, right? The Pat Tillman? He was killed by friendly fire. And when you read about how he died, right, the way that friendly fire... like occurred, it's almost understandable. I'm not saying it is a lie. It's just people panicking because, you know, you're under threat of life and death. You're going to fire first and ask questions later. And some people fire more than others. And you kind of get into this weird bloodlust fucking mindset. And you just can't see anything. Almost like tunnel vision. They talk about it when you fire. Like, you can't see anything. Like, everything just appears like that size of a quarter.
Okay, but here's the problem with that idea, is that this is all speculation. So it's a speculation of the idea that, well, if we allow civilians to purchase guns. Like, this is kind of what pisses me off about this idea about gun control. Is like, just because you have the right to have a gun doesn't mean you will. Like, the people who want one will go get one. So you're going to assume, and very reasonably, because a lot of the time you need, like, training and licensing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To get a gun, that these people will have shot it, they will understand how to use it. These are not civilians in a way with guns. These are trained people who bought them because they wanted them, and they have some affection from it.
But actually, here's the thing, though. I mean, the irony in what you're saying is I could turn that around of just saying, well, this is the one example. But that's what they're trying to argue. Like, in a sense, there's plenty of places in the U.S. where there are, you know, laws that allows a person to carry guns. The incidents of people stopping crimes in that manner are rare. They're more rare than the other instances, which is where people with these guns will actually harm family members or friends, which is much more likely. I can show you all the statistics about it.
I would like to see those statistics.
The statistics are, in home invasions, you are much more likely to shoot an intruder. In fact, I think it's something like 3 to 4 times more likely. A great number of incidents actually happen from someone who's just going in, breaking in their own home and get fired.
Sure.
Like, shot at.
And I'm sure that those are fantastic circumstances that get documented. But you know what circumstances don't get documented?
What's
when
that?
Some chick's walking in the park and some guy creeps up behind her and she pulls out her gun and he runs off. Those things don't get reported. Those numbers are fucking fluff.
All right, but let's go back to the argument now of self-defense, which is the second. Like, it's tied with the first one of saying somebody could have stopped it. But the second argument is that you're taking away a person's right to self-defense. Number one, gun control laws don't do that. Okay? They don't take away your ability to own a gun. What changes is the type of process that's involved. Like, here's a good example, right? In the States, they have gun laws, but they also have these gun shows that bypass the laws. If you go to a gun show, you don't need to even have a waiting period. You just show and you trade guns and you have a gun the same day. This is a problem. This is a big way that a lot of people get guns, specifically the people who create who cause, like, you know, domestic terrorism, their own version, get these guns from these shows.
But the flip
that are not regulated.
Okay. And I'm sure that you know, there'd be something you can do to restrict that if that would make people feel more comfortable, if that's what people wanted. But, you know, you get the flip side of that. We're in Alberta, at least. I can't speak for the rest of the country. But I know that in Alberta, I was looking into getting a gun license myself because I'm interested, and I would love, not even just for self-defense, but just as, like, a fun hobby to go shoot a 22, get some targets practice in on
sure.
The weekends. That'd be fun. But the problem in Calgary is that there are a lot of laws against carrying a gun. So I would have to... Like, there's all these rules about how I could get it to the shooting range, right? I would have to have all these special containment units in my house, and I couldn't, if there was any shadow of a doubt that I was going to the shooting range with it, they could arrest me,
mm-hmm.
or they could take it away. And the problem with that, at least in Alberta, is that scares the shit out of me, because you do hear about, you know, like, you and I got stopped on the street by police for jaywalking.
Mm-hmm.
What if I had a gun on me, you know? And what if we were legitimately going to the shooting range? And it was all legit, but in that moment, that police officer felt uncomfortable or whatever. In Canada, I don't have the right to carry that gun. And the problem is that the line is so freaking gray. Like, the more restrictions we put on it, the grayer the line gets.
Let me bring... I'm going to turn that argument around again, where you're like, well, how would the cop reacted? I don't know. How would I react if I had a concealed weapon and I saw somebody else with a concealed weapon? I have a good example, a story of a friend who used to carry a knife with him, and then he stopped. Because he was in an incident where he was feeling a little bit threatened, and he pulled it out. And that's a really bad thing to do in this country. You don't pull out knives, okay? You can go to jail for pulling out a knife. Okay, I want to go back to the argument that you had said about the cop would have felt uncomfortable if you would have had a gun on you, and sort of like the gray line that causes. For me, the bigger concern is the way that people act when they have a kind of, I don't want to say a final solution. You know, there was a entertaining cracked article that was just talking about like this whole notion. It was like one of the arguments, well, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And he's like, yes, but guns are specifically designed to kill people. It's not a self-defense weapon. It's an attack weapon. You know, if we were talking about a legitimate... maybe the problem is we don't have a weapon that's really good at defense. We only have good offense. And, you know, like, in a sense, sure, its deadly efficacy will ensure that, oh, I didn't get attacked because my attacker's dead. But this is not defense. This is offense. And the result of this... oftentimes are kind of tragic situations, like the Zimmerman case, where you're just like, here's a person who can carry a weapon, who has it on him, and when faced with a situation where there's a perceived danger, even if it doesn't exist, the weapon itself will make the situation dangerous and now deadly. And I think that's the problem here. And when we're talking about gun laws, I'm not talking about making guns illegal. That's never the conversation I'm having. I believe that the reason that societies have at least fewer gun related deaths is because they have a certain degree of restriction to them. And that restriction, although it doesn't stop, say, the criminal element, what it does is, in a sense, it reduces the general the general reliance on weapons. It reduces your weapon culture. It weakens it. And in any place where there's a strong weapon culture, there will be a lot of weapon deaths, you know? Like, Canada has a lot of guns, but because, you know, we have different rules. And I believe that many of those rules are the reasons why things are different. The rules don't make it impossible for you to own it, but they make it so that when you do have to own it, you're responsible. And I think that being responsible carries over. I mean, we have licenses for cars. And if you said that having to go to a DMV to get a license was somehow preventing your freedom in owning a vehicle, I would say no, because a vehicle is very fucking dangerous and you should be qualified to fucking drive it. And yeah, maybe some criminals won't have licenses. I knew a few of those. And they're very fucking dangerous. But you know what? I'm not going to create a rule that says, well, you know, I need to make sure that everyone has unlimited freedom. Therefore, let's make sure that no one has to actually achieve a license to drive.
Well, what about the idea about that gray line I was talking about, where when you create rules like, well, you can have it and you can carry it here, but that's it. I mean, how are they ever going to prove that I'm carrying it?
The rules are really specific about handguns, because handgun-related violence and the use of handguns, like, it's specifically a handgun thing, because you can have a rifle, and the rules are entirely different.
Not in Canada, you can't. You can't carry any type of weapon, period, ever. You can't carry it around.
Well, in Alberta, it's different.
In Alberta, you can't carry a weapon of any kind.
Well, I think it's also because your liquor stores are open till 1.
That could be it. What I'm saying, though, is that when you start restricting something, you create a lot of gray area, and it makes me very uncomfortable with this idea of saying, oh, people can protect themselves, but they can only protect themselves under our terms.
No, but you know what? Like, maybe the terms are... Okay, see, and this is, again, where I think the problem lies, where people are like, well, gun control means that you're going to come over and you're going to take away my gun. And again, I really don't... That is an extreme. And to use an example saying, okay, well, there's a gray line and I feel uncomfortable. Yeah, so do I. And I hope that level of comfort stays with us. But that doesn't mean that we don't do it just because we're uncomfortable. I mean, we live in a world where you can't just have no rules for stuff. I got news for you. When that happens, it's chaos a little bit. We function based on rules. And, you know, like to use one of the arguments that Americans use a lot, for instance, and to use a rule as an argument to transition to that, they say, well, the Second Amendment is clear. I should have the right to bear arms. And I'm like, now I want to address that issue because of what it really says, okay, how it's framed. Because what it really says is that people have the right to bear arms in an armed militia. And back in the days, militia were places where you would have stockpiles of weapons so that if your enemies ever came calling, you would go to the place where they have those weapons, you would grab them, and you could defend yourself. That was your constitutional right when it was designed at the time. What does
According
that mean now?
To who? Like, where is that information coming from? That's what it really says.
Well, I can send you the links, actually. I read these extensive articles about the history of the Second Amendment.
I think you should post that in the
what?
Show notes. I think people
yeah?
would like
okay.
that.
Okay, I'll send you a link to that.
Because that kind of flies in the face of a lot of what's being done right now, and a lot of, like, if that is true...
That is, I'm not making this up.
I feel like that would make things a lot more cut and dry in the U.S., and it's not cut and dry in the U.S.
But here's the thing. I mean, it's because the Supreme Court eventually found that those rights also apply to individuals and their gun ownership. But in a sense, I mean, let's be honest about the way that the framers thought. When Thomas Jefferson himself said that the Constitution needs to be changed every 19 years, just an arbitrary number, and it hasn't been changed in 200, you know that the original intent of the Constitution is not being applied. With that in mind, let's also remember that when they wrote this, the musket shot inaccurately. It was a big piece of crap. You were better off with a sword, let's be honest. So there's a proportionality to the thing. Now, I'm not saying, I don't even want to legislate weapons that I still consider, even though at the time they didn't have anything like a repeater where you could fire more than 15 shots. But I'm like, fine, fire 15, most of your terrible shots anyways, you probably can't land what you hit, that's fine. But when a person can get an extended 120-clip magazine, carbine-powered fucking weapon that can be unloaded, this is not the same idea. And if a person tells me, well, I need this as an essential part of my freedom, the invention of that weapon is what the general industry that supports, the industrial military complex, you are part of that industry. Okay. And that is a disturbing industry, let me tell you.
This is what I'm going to say. I think this should be my final thought on it, because it does make me uncomfortable to talk about gun control, because I'm not well-informed, and I feel like I'm talking to my ass. But I do genuinely feel like I'm talking to my ass, so I want to move on. But here's what I think. I think that it makes me very suspicious and nervous to put the power to control my ability to protect myself against the government, particularly, in the hands of the government. That's what it makes me feel most uncomfortable about. If something should happen and, you know, history should repeat itself and the citizens need to rise up against their government, it makes me very uncomfortable to know that we have given up our right to have weaponry to defend ourselves, and we've let the government, who we are now needing to fight against, decide what those rules are going to be.
But the weapons that we have created are not going to disappear. The 200 million guns that is in America will not go away. America has enough guns. They will have enough guns for 3 generations. That's not the problem.
Unless we continue to give up little bits.
And they're not being taken. No, they're not being taken away. Again, like I know that it makes you feel uncomfortable, but I feel like that is the biggest slippery slope of one of the most heavily manufactured products in the history of mankind. The gun, the automatic rifle. Do you know how many AK-47s there are? There's an AK-47 for every 10, or like 1 in 10 human beings. That's how many guns of that nature there is out in the world, and that's just that type of rifle. Okay, let's face it, guns are around. And human beings are extremely clever. Even if you had a broken gun, you could fix it. There's now, you know those programs that allow you to kind of mold stuff? You can make a gun out of that now, and that's making some people uncomfortable. Like, the truth is, to make a projectile weapon that kills your opponent, we know how it works. It can be easily manufactured any way we can. That ability will never go away now. It's like saying, hey, what if the government took away the ability to what? To know things? They can't do that. We know how to build it. Mm-hmm. I could build a crossbow and fucking send the government back. That's not the point. The point is, we still have to look at the issue that we need these rules. I don't know what the rules are. And I think that we should be careful about how we structured it. But this whole notion that, no, it's better to not have, the discussion was over 200 years ago, that's silly. That is ridiculous. Especially because right now, the weapons that we manufacture are impressive. But in the weapons being made now, the really kind of fucking super mega weapons, like, you know, there's a gun that fires now, rather than have like a hammer, it's an electrical signal. And what you can do is you can line up hundreds of bullets and fire these as a stream of hot matter. It's a fucking death weapon. Now, should that be covered under your Second Amendment rights? Should you have a death ray, a portable death ray? And yeah, maybe that's not what's happening right now, but that conversation will need to happen. When are we going to have it? Huh? When are we going to fucking have it? Just because we're comfortable about something doesn't mean the conversation doesn't need to happen. And you know what? If we don't like it, we can repeal it. You know, like, even in Canada, they talk about repealing it all the time. There's the debate happens, and it's just constant. It's not written in stone, folks. But I'm going to tell you something. When there are 13,000 gun-related deaths in the U.S. alone, it's a pretty high number, and that's why I said it's almost the same as car accidents. And you have a license for a car. It's gonna, you know, like, that for me is sort of like that, really basic. And no, it doesn't stop guys like James Holmes. You're right, it doesn't stop them. That's not what the issue is actually about. I'm more concerned about the 13,000 deaths, really. 12 deaths and 50 injuries, that is an isolated event. 13,000 deaths is just all the time, constant. because of our lack of vigilance, because we just hand them over to children who have absolutely no idea how to use it. Here's the keys to the car that you've never driven. Have fun. And here's some alcohol.
I'm not well informed enough to have an opinion.
Well, you know what? Here's the advantage. I'm sure that there's plenty of people that are, and they're going to probably generate lots of discussion, which I'll continue on. I'm happy to do it. And if someone says, no, you're absolutely wrong, there's going to be plenty of awesome links, by the way, in some of the articles, including a great Cracked one. Woo. Which is sort of like four of the worst arguments.
How is Cracked so great? That's a question I want to ask.
I want to know.
I really hope that there's somebody from Cracked who listens, because I would like them to know how freaking great they are. Yeah. So great.
Well, they have a big slew of writers. You know, and they have writers back from the early days of the internet. Do you know who Sean Baby is?
No.
Of course not. He, you know, Sean Baby was like the original, like the kind of internet phenomenon, the one of the early ones where his site, even though it didn't make sense, was like the oddities of the internet, and he was fucking hilarious. Just hilarious. And there's a couple of websites like that, like the greatest website on earth. What was it called again? Anyways, there's a few of them, but they were just, they were big for a while. This was before blogs. This was just sort of like regular HTML pages that were so badass that you just visited them all. And like, yeah. And then they got him eventually, and he's like a big deal. He's old school funny. And so, I mean, like, why are they good? I don't know. They also probably make a lot of money.
Have you noticed on the internet this sort of, maybe I've just noticed it, but like people who were there right when online video was getting big and right when, like, you know, RSS and early people who kind of like took a break or coming back. Have you noticed that?
No.
Or getting popular again?
Well, yeah, but you see, here's the thing. I mean, you're in the YouTube world.
It's not just in YouTube, though.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I
haven't noticed in the other worlds.
Well, I'm finding lots of people.
It could just be one
in.
Of those confirmation biases kind of thing.
It could be. I'm reading Adrian Jacobs' book, The Know-It-All, and he talks in that book about how, you know, something has to happen three times for it to be a trend. And now I'm constantly looking for trends, so I
could... Oh, is that what that was about today when I was saying, like, hey, if Germany gets broke, bad things happen? You're like, well, it didn't happen three times, Jacob. It's not a trend.
Well, it's like, got to happen three times for it to be a trend, according to AJ Jacobs, and you know how much I love him.
That's coming from. That's where it comes from, AJ Jacobs.
Yep.
I'm going to have to go beat him up.
Don't. I love him. I love him too much. No touchy.
You know what? Here's what I feel. I feel bad about this show, because, you know, it's not going to please everyone, but you know, I think any time where people are definitely going to disagree with me, I like those too. You don't have to listen to every show and be like, I love everything you say. And agree.
Well,
with
they've got someone on either side, because you're on one side on this, and I'm kind of on another side.
She's having a little bit of time. I'm hammering her with some stuff. I truth be told, she did not have a lot of preparation. This is why I apologize on behalf of the other argument.
Ryan was supposed to do this.
I mean, I tried to do the other side of the argument. Honestly, I really tried. But when I have to read someone saying something like, it doesn't matter if you save hundreds of people, it does. I don't want you taking away my right to shoot a criminal. I'm like, I'm sorry, but please don't shoot any criminals. You're not good at it. You're going to kill someone else. Please put the gun down. Let the pros with guns handle it. Just because you're at the shooting range thinking you're hot shit, please don't fire it. I'm terrified by vigilantes. They terrify me more than the police. And you know,
that's,
I don't like the police.
Surprising, because you like superhero movies a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But superheroes don't have guns. So, you know?
Yeah, they've got
Punisher
superpowers.
Has a gun, but you know, if Punisher was around, I would run for my life. Punisher is not the kind of guy who's like, oh, shoot, well, I'm gonna really ask everybody if they're guilty or not. No, everyone dies, and he has guns. Spider-Man at least just webs you up. Now, odds are you get released immediately, because what evidence do they have? Spider-Man assaulted me. So you should arrest Spider-Man. He assaulted me. He has no proof.
So what you're saying is Spider-Man is a useless superhero.
I'm saying that unfortunately Spider-Man probably produces more harm than good in his whole like way of dealing with crime. It's not really that good. Webbing somebody up? I mean, I hope you have a bag of evidence or something. He does have photos, though. Maybe he could leave those behind. He'd have to. Something.
This is also a fantasy world where...
The bad guys are always really clear, too. They always dress, like, in leather jackets and stuff. It's dark true. Leather jackets and sunglasses and all kinds of stereotypes of bad guys. You know what bad guys sometimes look like? They have business suits and ties. They don't look like bad guys. But they'll take your house away.
Aw, that's sad.
I know, it's a little bit sad.
Well, is there something else we could talk about that would please people to, like, polish up this particular episode?
Oh, man. some good news on the atheist horizon, you're asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wait, there is a bit of good news. There was a guy, a priest in the U.S. recently, who did get a jail sentence, finally, for covering up sexual abuse. First guy to get jail. Now, do you want the bad news?
Can't we just leave it there?
Well, yeah, but I feel like I should tell you how long he's going to be in jail for.
How long?
3 to 5.
Oh, well.
It's a bit disappointing.
It's something.
Isn't it sad that that's where we are now? Well, at least that that guy who helped child rapists get away is going to go to jail for a little while. Just him, though. Hey, him and could it be like there's 1,000 other dudes where that came from? And some of the worst guys, they got to die never being brought to justice. Like Massieu guy. Fucking raped 1,000 kids. Gets to have a nice life. Yeah, fucking giant castle paid by the Catholic Church.
Remember how I said say something happy?
Right.
You just went happy. Right down.
Sorry.
Into depressi, depresso.
You're right. Well, I don't have a...
Depressi.
You know, there was a survey that found that the nuns were about like 19%. And that supposedly a majority of Americans would now vote for an atheist president if asked under...
Wait, nuns are 19%? 19% what?
Nuns, people who don't believe in anything, are 19% of the population.
Oh.
In the U.S.
Sorry, I thought you meant like nuns in a habit.
Oh,
like.
No, I'm sorry. No. Yeah, I could see the confusion. No. N-O-N-E.
Okay.
Yes. Nuns.
No religion. Okay. Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, but does that include people who are like, I don't really believe in God, but tarot and ghosts, yay.
Yes, it does.
Well, see, that's not a big win.
No, like that guy in the bus who had that book, Tarot, Windows, whatever. Windows into the Soul. Yeah, the soul of a fucking scam.
Although I have to say that Jake was very well behaved. He had to stare at a young man reading a book on tarot.
I waited until he was gone before I said a really funny joke.
Yeah, until you insulted him. You waited until he was gone.
Yeah, I waited until he was gone. I said, you know, how do you spell garbage? T-A-R-O-T. That's how you spell
very
garbage.
Very funny. Ba-doom-t. The thing that kind of weirded me out was that he was reading a book on tarot, and also he seemed to be the leader of a school group. Like, he had a group of kids with, like, what? He had 15 kids with him? He was running a daycare?
I don't understand, though. What about that is weird?
I don't
know.
Would it
be weird if he had a cross on his neck?
I don't know. It just makes me uncomfortable. Yeah, like, well, it would if he was reading the... Well, I don't know. I just kind of feel like, do those kids' parents know...
How stupid one of their counselors is?
Yeah.
I don't know. How gullible he is? I mean, that's your only thing. Your only objection is like, how could someone so foolish? Yeah. People that have little T's... I'm sorry, crosses on their chest. That's just as foolish as that. But we let it slide. Foolish beliefs? Yeah, we let slide all the time.
I think atheists should start wearing guillotines around their neck. This is ridiculous, you guys. This is a
come on,
torture
guys.
Device.
Well, you know, there is those. I actually saw ones that were like electrical chairs.
Oh, that's funny.
That is funny. So you can
do
go
people
and get,
get it,
chair.
Though?
I
don't know if people
other
get
atheists
it.
Get it, and you know what? That's all you need. You wear the thing that other atheists get.
It's a nod to other atheists.
It's a nod to the 19% out there. Although, like we said before, it doesn't mean that they're not going to believe in some fucking stupid-ass shit that's going to annoy the crap out of you.
Yeah, what kind of 19% is that?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. If they're already not believers, now we just have to take the rest of their other crappy beliefs away that make no sense. And that's the hard job. That's why I have to be a curmudgeon.
Okay, here's the thing. You know, am I the only one? I mean, this is a weird thing that you and I have never talked about in the 3 years of hanging out. But
is that what you're calling it?
Hanging out. Well, not all of it was dating.
Most of it was.
Oh, well. Anyway, we've never talked about this. But do you find, when I make a new friend, I just did this, so as everybody knows now, I did that 3-week camp thing, right. where everybody there was new. I didn't know anybody there, and that's very rare for me. Usually I'm hanging out where I know about half the people. I very
not
rarely...
Not just that, but you were someone where you are known, and that's different. I don't think you were used to that. No one knows...
Nobody knew who I was.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a crap about me, which was great. It was great for 3 weeks. Honestly, it was very nice. But what I realized is that I think that I go out of my way to not necessarily meet too many new people because whenever I meet new people, I am constantly waiting for them to disappoint me with their stupid beliefs. And I realized that in the classes.
It makes you sound like a bitch, but I dig it.
I am a bitch that way. Is that for, I mean, partially it might be that in this group, that I was in, it was mostly women. And I'm always expecting it more from women because women tend to be believers, right? And
it's true.
And in at least some kind of nonsense.
It's like that throughout the board. Throughout the board, except for there's a few religions, including Islam, where there's more men.
Yeah, I can't wonder why.
Gee.
I wonder why.
I wonder why.
But, I mean, do you go through that, too, where whenever I really did realize about a week in that I had been a little cautious about talking to people because I was afraid that at some point someone was going to be like, oh, yeah, there's a ghost, or I can read your palm, or I got to go, to my church group, or just some kind of nonsense that's going to be like, oh, I thought we could be friends.
I don't know. Can I say something that makes me sound like a total bitch?
Yeah, this will be the We're Bitches episode.
Great. It's going to make me seem like... By the way, at the end of the episode, I'm going to be asking you guys to contribute to Bible stories for...
Okay, well...
I'm going to be getting a lot of fucking points off this one. But yeah, let me be a little bit catty and say that I think that that is probably just masking a greater issue, which is, you know, when you meet someone, whether or not you're impressed... And odds are, with someone you're impressed, you're not going to wait for them to say something that's going to upset you. But it's just that you've met very nice people that are not going to impress you intellectually. That's all. They're
no,
nice people.
That's not what it is. That's not what it is. I actually feel like it's the opposite. It's that I'm constantly meeting people that seem... Because here's the thing. Religious people and people who believe in garbage, they tend to be, like a lot of them, are incredibly intelligent people and accomplished and brilliant and fun. And I find that's actually the opposite for me. It's that when I meet someone and they're so smart and they're so fun, I just arrogantly assume, oh, you figured out that all the magic stuff is crap. And then they say horoscopes or something and I just kind of go... Right,
I kind of want to take these people to the side and be like, you should actually be embarrassed by that belief. I don't want to offend you right now, but that's an embarrassing belief.
Well, I'm embarrassed. I am embarrassed for them. But here's the thing is that...
So tell them honestly.
It doesn't make them less intelligent. It doesn't make them not good people most of the time. It just... That's my aversion. I don't like that. I don't like to have friends that embarrass me with their stupid beliefs.
I think that their beliefs will infect their minds and make their decision less intelligent. I think in that sense, religion... And superstitious belief does make you less smart. But like anything else, this is not a permanent state, all right? This is just like you have a parasite in your mind, a terrible idea that will just not evaporate away. Like, the history of other terrible ideas have evaporated away that we've, countless gods that we've forgotten, countless explanations to the universe that never really made any sense. And, every once in a while when I'm reminded by a person that, one should have an open mind about the world, and you should never take your assumptions about the universe for granted. And I'm like, I actually am, I think I'm the one of the rare individuals that really lives by that. Because I think the people who tell me that I lack an open mind, they are the same people who will not change their minds when faced with greater evidence. Who's the fucking one with a closed mind when you just ignore it and then tell me, well, it requires faith? Okay, well, I guess that fucking closed the book on that one, huh? You didn't have anything to fucking come back, and now it's just like, I'm going to go to my little spot, my safe little corner, where I can just hide. I'm like, sorry, dude. Sorry.
You know what I feel like saying right now?
What's that?
Are the new listeners gone yet?
Are they gone?
Are they gone yet?
Are they gone? I don't know. They probably would have left in a little while by now, but like I said, not every show, this is something I realized, not every show is for everybody. Some shows are for a lot of people that are interested. I think Bible Stories has a very broad appeal. The interviews, if they're done well, have a broad appeal. But, if you don't like every episode, well, shit, that happens. Did you like every episode of every TV show that you've ever watched?
No.
No. Some episodes kind of suck.
There are some terrible TNG episodes, especially
in the first two seasons.
I would really love if people would comment on the Facebook page or on this podcast and let me know if you feel the same way about waiting, like when you make a new friend, just kind of waiting for them to disappoint you with their stupid beliefs. I would like to know if I'm alone in this feeling.
Yeah.
Because it feels very lonely.
I wish I could have, there was an easy way to let a person know in a subtle manner. Your irrationality is not welcome.
You know what it reminds me of?
That's all. It's like, I don't want your stupid belief to... I don't want to just go, ugh, every time you say something stupid. I don't want to do that. I can't be your friend if you're like that.
You know how it feels to me? It feels the same way. Like, I... I mean, everybody lies a little bit when you tell stories, right? And sure. I think entertainers are especially bad for it. Because, you know, you do it in your show all the time. You have to. You have to kind of...
Embellishment is what my dad would call it.
Yeah, embellishment. And for me, the kind of like, ugh, feeling I get when somebody says something, like they kind of reveal one of their stupid, disappointing beliefs, is the almost the exact feeling I get when somebody lies in a way that is...
Transparent.
Super transparent. Yeah.
And we're just like, did you seriously lie to me?
Did you think I would believe that? Is kind of the how stupid do you think I am? It's that same feeling where I just look at the person and I go, hey, I can't really fault you for doing this because everybody does it, but I don't like you as much as I did 10 minutes ago. I feel embarrassed for you. I feel icky. You made me feel icky. Ugh.
Those are not good moments. Although you know what, I think that to some degree, friendships are actually. You had those elements in other friendships. You just didn't know what it was about. Before, it was their love for GoBots. And you're like, I can't respect you because of your love for GoBots. Well, it was a really cheap knockoff of Transformers. A terrible, terrible cartoon. And Transformers was awful. When you have an awful, you know, ripoff of something that's bad, it's pretty damn bad.
Hmm.
But, you know, some people liked it out there. And if you liked it, I'm sure that you were probably segregated and vilified. Rightly so. But yeah, you know, you don't agree with your friends and everything. And sometimes back in the day when life was simple, maybe the things that you didn't agree on were things that you could just still be friends on, because it never really boiled down to you have to see the world the way I do in order for us to be friends.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel like a difference in opinion over, for example, gun control is a little bit different than I think ghosts are a thing.
Mm.
I just
okay,
feel like
now,
it's different.
Now, the difference is that the person who's against gun control is not necessarily being unreasonable. Just as the same way that a person who is for gun control is not being unreasonable either. But a person who believes in ghosts is just believing in something that's just totally unreasonable. That is not reasonable.
I just think that we all have to realize that as people, as you grow up, you make choices, maybe not deliberate choices, probably most of them not deliberate, about these are the things I like. These are the things I'm drawn to. These are the things I can't, that I have an aversion to.
I can't live with. Yeah.
I just can't live with. And I wish that we could all be a little bit more accepting of those. Unfortunately, some of those prejudices turned out to be like, I don't like black people. And that's
like,
not okay.
I don't like gay people.
I don't like gay people.
They can't eat my sandwiches.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's probably why I feel like simultaneously icky about it and lonely about it. It's just like, how is it okay for me to not want to be friends with people who believe in ghosts? But I think that everyone should like gay people, and
yeah,
everyone should like people of different races.
Well, it's especially tough, too, when, you know, the people that you're disliking are perfectly nice people.
Perfectly nice,
yeah.
perfectly
and
intelligent.
Just, yeah, of course, and you're just going to feel like a big piece of shit saying, I just don't want to hang out. But the truth is that painfully ignorant beliefs that some people have will just strain your patience. You know,
yeah.
A lot of the people out there that I've talked to, a couple fans who've mentioned what life is like now that they kind of came out of the atheist closet, is for them, they feel some sense of relief because they don't have to put up with that. Now, you talk about, oh, do you ever dread that? Well, what about the people that are friends with those people, and that's just what their friends are like? And they're just like, yeah, I get that feeling in the pit of my stomach all the time because that's who my friends are. Pity you.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's probably a significant portion of our listeners right now, which... I mean, sad to say, maybe part of the reason they're listening to it is like, Jacob is my friend and he doesn't think like them. Yay.
Well, I remember hanging out with one of your friends.
I am your friend for money.
We were hanging out with one of your friends about a week ago, and he was saying that most of his friends are non-believers and he doesn't have to put up with that stuff. And I remember thinking like,
Where are you from?
I'm like, super jealous.
What the hell?
I am so jealous.
It's like, you live in a bubble, sir.
Well, how...
You live in Sweden? Like,
how did you find those people? How did you...
Well, it's Canada, you know? Like, to some degree, they were saying that by 2040, there may not be any, you know, religion left in Canada to speak of.
Yeah.
It's just because... Okay, I don't want to bring it back to the gun control thing because it'll sound like a cheap shot. But I'm going to put a cheap shot here. I honestly think that whenever we're trying to ask ourselves some questions, is one thing like the right way to do it? Is the other thing not the right way? The one thing you have to realize is that the tide of time will choose for you, right? But it does take time. Like, for instance, if we're right now fighting to make sure that religion goes away, it will not go away in our lifetime because our lifetimes are so fucking brief. But that doesn't mean it's not going to go away. It's just that these things take time, and they're incremental. Really, they're almost imperceptible, because in your own world, it might be that there are such a shitload of religious people and they're breeding a lot. And you're like, but they're outbreeding us, and all these other kind of factors that play into that. But you're like, yeah, still considering those factors, time will fucking ruin them. It doesn't matter. It's like, maybe they're having more babies, but society has a much greater impact on how they are, how they behave, than their parents. And that's just the incremental changes. So to bring it back to the gun controls, I think that gun control laws work in the same way, depending on how they're designed. They're incremental. What they do is they reduce it in ways that are not always clear. They reduce it in the way that, you know, gun deaths occur. They reduce it in the way that accessibility and these kinds of things. They're subtle. They're not always understandable. And that's why it's important, when you look at the discussion, and this is what I'll end with, that we actually look at the science and not just our opinions about what it's really like.
I just hope that we don't look at skewed numbers, because I get very uncomfortable when people are like throwing statistics around, and you just have to ask, okay, so yeah, those are the statistics of people who got hurt. Of course those would get reported, but how about the people who didn't, that wouldn't get reported? I'm just saying, if you're legitimately saying let's rely on the numbers, how about let's not make shit up then? Let's not make up numbers.
Well, you know, here's the good thing. Gun-related injuries are actually really easy to track, because people go to the hospital. The amount of people that go to the, you know, those mafia hospitals things? I mean, like, this is not significant. I know it looks like it in movies, because everybody's always going to mafia hospital. But people just go to the hospital, because when you think you're going to die, you don't show up in a place where they're using rubbing alcohol to fucking, you know.
Okay, so before we go, you queued me up to this whole conspiracy theory associated
with the Aurora thing.
And I...
Let's end on
you
that.
You refused to tell me what it was about until the show, and now I need to know. So there's a conspiracy theory about the Aurora shooting, about the guy who got arrested?
That's correct, yes. They're saying there's some internet moron who basically took two photos. One was the mugshot of him when he's arrested with his crazy hair, and the other one is some kind of student ID. So he put those two pictures together and says, "There's his nose is and ears are slightly different. This is a different man." And now there's a kind of conspiracy going around that it's not really him. Now, you saw the photos.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at them right now. What say you?
One looks like him smiling, and one looks like him not smiling.
Well, that's what's great. Like, in one shot, he has a different face on, and you're like, you know when you smile like that, your nostrils flare? Yeah? And you know how they're like, his ears couldn't stick out. Really? I can make my ears wiggle. You don't think that they're going to move around? You think that ears are static things? But this is all you need to start a conspiracy, by the way.
It's also his ears sticking out a bit because his head's turned. Like, if you look on the other side, his other ear is shorter because his head's turned. Isn't it?
Yeah, thank you. I know. These are pretty easy to just sort of knock down. I mean, like, it's obviously him. But to some people out there, they just want to believe, no, the government captured the wrong person in order to, I don't know what. I mean, like, fill in the blanks. It doesn't matter. Distrust of government is pretty, you know,
like, look strong at his chin. It's the same fucking guy.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's the same guy.
And plus, I mean, this is a few years. Like, do you look like your photo from 2 years
ago? Oh, my God,
no.
I should post something on the forum of... I used to carry around my photo ID for my first year of art school and my last year of art school, because the difference in the two photos is comical.
Yeah, it's nice.
It looks like hot me and my hideous stepsister, who is, you know,
he's
transgendered.
Evil.
Like, it's just not good photo.
It is not, yeah.
Not a good photo.
Let's just say it's not flattering.
So, yeah, I mean, people look different in different photos.
They look different over time. Let me assure you that you'll go through different moldings by the time you're in the ground, okay? But yes, there'll be a link for it. Go check it out. It's just a weird little conspiracy. I mean, I don't know if it'll grow. I mean, think of conspiracies as memes, right? Does the idea have enough elements where it kind of sticks with people? Like, look at the Kennedy assassination, right? There were so many different elements that stuck with people and that sort of like made people, yeah, I could buy a conspiracy. Oh, didn't they try to invade Cuba and he fired a CIA guy? Wouldn't he be really pissed about that? And all these other factors. Man, that's good. That stokes the fucking fires, right? That sounds like a good conspiracy theory. This, I don't even understand why they do it. Well, we found a guy who's the almost complete doppelganger of James Holmes, which we could have just caught because he's not a criminal mastermind. But we didn't want to catch him, so we had this other guy. Like, I just don't get it.
I don't understand. What are they trying to accomplish?
Conspiracy theories, they want to accomplish this. They want to show that you should be distrustful of the government.
Well, I agree with that, but I don't agree
you fuel their fire.
I don't agree with this. I don't think this is why you should be distrustful of your government. I just think that it's smart to be skeptical about everything.
Well, I think it's good to be distrustful about the right things. It seems to be smart. This notion, that is silly. That is very, very silly.
I just think we need to, like, be a good author when you're writing things and imagine the motivation of your characters. What is the motivation here? Why? Why?
Just think about the logistics of it, too. Anyone who would propose this and take it seriously has just not considered...
Anyway, so that's really all it was. Because I thought there was going to be this whole other thing when
I know, it's a little bit disappointing.
It is a little bit disappointing, but it's interesting. And
look, here's the problem. If you're ever disappointed by this news story, especially all of you living in the 24-hour news cycle, the reason you're disappointed with it is because there's not much to say.
Yeah.
Stupid little idiot, you know, kills people. Kills Batman fans.
Should we talk at all about the Olympics?
Nah. I don't really actually care about the Olympics. I honestly don't.
Well, yeah, but I think lots of people do care about
it. I know they do care. But we're the worst two people to talk about the Olympics as a consequence. You don't care about the Olympics. I don't care about the Olympics.
I don't really care.
And we don't care for one fucking basic reason. Why do you not care about the Olympics?
Because I'm not super patriotic.
Right. That's the reason why I'm not either. So while I can definitely appreciate the accomplishment of athletes, most of the sports are really not my bag.
I will say, though, I crazy follow the Winter Olympics men's hockey and women's hockey.
I think that's a cultural thing.
I think it is a cultural thing. I used to be a bit of an ice bunny, and I think it's like a leftover from that.
Yeah, sounds like it. But all I'll say is that I don't gain any vicarious victories from other people who just happen to be born somewhere geographically not even close to me. I mean, like the size of Canada. Holy shit. It's big. But I feel no fealty that way. So I think the Olympics would be a big disappointment. What am I going to talk about? I'm going to be a big downer. Everybody likes it. And they're going to be like, oh, Jacob, you're a big curmudgeon, blah, blah, when I say that, as far as I'm concerned, patriotism is the second greatest evil after religion. I'm like, that's how I feel. I know, it's a pretty big statement. But I believe I can back it up if you give me enough time. I can back up that statement.
Okay. So in conclusion, jury's still out on gun control.
Your jury.
My jury is still out of gun control. Aurora shooting, holy shit, that fucking sucks.
We haven't even gotten to see Batman.
I don't think we will go see Batman. I kind of don't. It makes me feel uncomfortable now. I feel bad for the people who made Batman. I mean, maybe if the reviews have been like, oh, but the movie's so good, I would have been like, okay, I'll fight through the awkward uncomfortableness of going to see it.
No, I know why you don't want to go see the movie for real. Because Anne Hathaway is in it and she looks silly.
That's why you don't want to go see it. That's not the real reason I want to go kind of see it. I just think it's one of many reasons I don't want to go see it. I feel like it's going to be a disappointment. The Aurora shooting thing makes me very uncomfortable to be in a theater watching The Dark Knight right now. And then also Anne Hathaway, I feel like she probably ruined Catwoman again. She's just so talented at so many things. Why did you make her Catwoman? What were you thinking? Did you not see that face? That face is not a Catwoman face.
It's true. Michelle Pfeiffer had the Catwoman face.
She did.
She looked like a bitch.
Catwoman's going to be a bit bitchy. Like, Anne Hathaway is too sweet.
With those big giant eyes. Ugh. I mean, you might as well have an anime character.
She's a Disney princess.
You have Disney Catwoman.
Not good. Bad casting call. Terrible choice. What were you thinking? I'm mad at you all. So, okay. So, there's that. And then the other thing was that, please message on Facebook, on the forums, or whatever. Wherever you message, Jake will direct me to it. About whether or not you feel like you're just waiting for your friends to disappoint you by their crazy beliefs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can do that, too.
Because I would like to know if I'm the only one who feels that way. Because then...
You'll just feel like a bitch.
Then I'll... You know, but that's not a bad thing. Like, it's important for me to wake up to my crazy ideas.
If you think Chris is a bitch...
If you think I'm a bitch, don't. I shouldn't invite myself.
Yeah, it's too late now. So just to Facebook or on the website, you know what to do, people. But be nice.
My feelings are very easily hurt.
They are a bit easily hurt. Just remember, she's really sensitive.
Really sensitive.
Keep that in mind. All right, you know what? Let's wrap up the show. Sorry it's a little bit disorganized. Like I said, this was not the plan, folks. But I got to say, you guys have surprised me yet again. I wasn't sure if I would have had the energy to do it twice. But you guys were so
Great.
You guys were so great about it. Amazing. I mean, I was really worried about Indiegogo because I don't like Indiegogo. It's a fun My Life site. People, you know, people spam the comment section from other campaigns. Who does that? It's like, you want to know why your campaign has no supporters? Because you're a fucking dick who spams people. That's why. Unbelievable. And it's people from all kinds. It's like, it just, I don't like it. I really don't like it. It's like, hey, I fucked up. Please give me money.
Maybe you shouldn't bad talk Indiegogo because then they won't feature you.
Well, now you have to go and sign up. If you were a Kickstarter contributor, that was canceled. Okay? You need to understand. You're not getting the book, so you have to go on Indiegogo. And get it there. And it's a big challenge, too, because, like I said, Indiegogo's smaller, and we got to get people to move from one to the other, and that's going to be tough. But I really want to get it back to the place we were before. I mean, we were going to get it to 20. I think we can get it to 20. We're at 12.6 now. We've got 15 days. So if you're listening to this and you love Bible stories, pre-order the book, guys. And thanks, everybody. Who just did, and for your support, you guys saved my bacon. Honestly, we saved Good Atheist again, because it was on that razor's edge. Holy shit, it was bad.
It's pretty amazing.
It's been a roller coaster ride. You know, the people who've been listening to it for a long time. I was talking to a fan who'd been listening to it for like 5 years, and he's like, "Yeah, it's been definitely a roller coaster." And there's one who listened to it, who listened right from the moment where I said I was going to quit to now, like in one day, and he's like, "Yeah, it was pretty wild."
Yeah, well, living with you during that was quite wild as well.
It's a crazy, crazy show. But you know what? It's getting better all the time. And now that we finally have some income and the book's happening, I feel like we're going to, once we hit our stride, it's going to be fucking awesome. So
yay.
Thanks, everybody. And like, we're gonna be back next Wednesday, because I'm changing the schedules from to Wednesday, Friday. Because I'm doing the shows with, I've rescheduled the shows when I do them with Ryan. So if you guys are wondering what the news that's going to be like, well, as soon as the campaign's over and shit like that, we're going to be Wednesday, Friday shows. And I'm even debating whether or not I should provide everybody with two free shows and back, you know, but you can't have access to the stuff unless you're a member. I don't know. I've been really thinking about it. I'd love to hear some of your suggestions. Would that be something that's interesting or not? I'd also like to hear your comments. I haven't made up my mind fully yet, but I want people to listen to the show, but I want to continue selling memberships, so it's a tough it's a tough thing. I love the idea of it being listened to. I mean, you guys know how many free shows I give out anyways. I just feel like putting that content behind that wall, I think it's a mistake. And I want to know if you guys, any of you hardcore contributors, if I did that, if you would feel like it's taking away from it, because you guys are my support base and I don't want to piss you guys off. So I'm please get back to me. Let me know. I want to mix things up a little bit. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Chris Andrews.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.